If you want to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, one of the most precious and most profound truths found in all the Scripture is bound up in the phrase, in Christ. In Christ. What does this mean? Well, it means to be found in Christ, to be called into fellowship with Jesus Christ, to be joined to Christ, to be engrafted in Christ, to be united with Christ, to put on Christ, to take hold of Christ, to cleave to Christ, and as the Puritans would say, to close with Christ. Being in Christ means that what the Father had planned in eternity past and what the Son accomplished 2,000 years ago on the cross has been brought to bear upon our hearts and souls by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So if you're in Christ, then the Spirit of God has sovereignly and effectually called you from death to life by uniting you to Christ in order that you may experience all the benefits and blessings of His saving work on your behalf. If you are in Christ, then what Jesus did in His incarnation, in His life, in His crucifixion, in His death, in His resurrection, all becomes yours. Everything that was in accordance with the Father's plan from eternity past to save you from your sins is brought again powerfully upon your heart and soul by the Spirit of God, as the Spirit of God knits you together with Jesus Christ by faith. So Christ for you becomes Christ in you. The beloved Son of God is yours and you are His. Or as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. Or as I sometimes say to little Bebo, you have to be connected with Jesus. That's what it means to be in Christ. So as a result of having union with Jesus Christ, the New Testament abounds in describing what happens to us. And in essence, we are told that our union with Christ secures our salvation from start to finish. I wish we had time to look at all these passages, but because we are in Christ, the Bible says that we are regenerated. We are justified. We are adopted. We are sanctified. And we will be glorified. Now, nowhere else, I think, in all the Bible is this union with Jesus Christ stressed more than in the book of Ephesians. That's why I had you turn to the book of Ephesians. The letter to the Ephesian believers is all about telling us the glorious realities of being in Christ and the blessings that flow from such a union. Let me quickly go through some passages in the book of Ephesians. First, Ephesians 1:3 tells us that in Christ we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Ephesians 1:4, in Christ we were chosen before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:5-6 says that in Christ we have been blessed with the glorious grace of adoption. Ephesians 1:10 says that in Christ we have obtained an inheritance. Ephesians 2:6 says that in Christ we have been raised up and seated in the heavenly places with Christ. Ephesians 2:7 says that in Christ God will show in the coming ages the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that in Christ we have been created by God for good works. Ephesians 2:13, in Christ we have been brought near by His precious blood. Ephesians 3:6 tells us that in Christ we have become heirs, members of the household of God, and partakers of the promised blessings of salvation. And in Ephesians 4:32, we are told that in Christ God forgave us our sins. Well, this evening I also want to look at how the letter to the Ephesians gives us several different illustrations or different analogies of what it means to be in Christ in order to understand how blessed we are to be Christians and how blessed we are to be in the Beloved. but also to show us how much we need our Savior every day of our lives. You know, I'm thankful that God illustrates this reality for us, because sometimes doctrinal concepts can be difficult for us to grasp and really understand. Sometimes we need flesh and blood and skin and garments put upon the doctrinal skeletal bones of something like being in Christ for us to really understand what God is teaching us. So I think this is exactly what the Apostle Paul does for us in the letter to the Ephesians. Throughout this letter, Paul illustrates our intimate, indestructible, blessed relationship with Christ in several ways. So I want to look at four of them this evening. We see in the book of Ephesians the body imagery. Secondly, we see the building imagery. Third, we see the light imagery. And then fourth and finally, we see the marriage imagery, which again, I think, illustrate the fact of a believer being in Jesus Christ. So because we're united to Christ, Jesus is our head, Jesus is our foundation, Jesus is our light source, and Jesus is our husband. So let's look at the first illustration or analogy, the body imagery. First, our union with Jesus Christ is compared to the organic unity between a body and its head. And this is found in several places. In Ephesians, I think it's the most prevalent, the most common illustration of our union with Jesus Christ found in this book. But let me turn to two passages. The first one is Ephesians 1, verses 22 through 23. Here the Apostle Paul calls the church the one body, the body of Jesus, as it reads. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all. There we're called the body of Jesus Christ. Now turn to Ephesians 2, verses 13 through 16. There we're called the one new man in Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God and in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. So the church is the one new humanity in Christ Jesus. We are new creations in Christ. We are God's workmanship created in Christ for good works. Because of Christ's resurrection from the dead, Christ is our head. Christ is the ruler. Christ is the leader of the new creation. And we, as the church, make up his body. So I think Jesus as our head, in this sense, teaches us two really important things about his relationship with us. First, we learn about Christ's rulership over us as he is the head of the body. As the head, he is the Lord. He rules and guides the church of Jesus Christ. He has dominion over the church. He reigns over all things, but he especially reigns over the people of God. He has a special lordship over those that he has bought with his precious blood. Therefore, he has the sovereign right to direct and control our lives however he sees fit. So we learn about his lordship, but secondly, we learn about his care for us. You know, he rules over us, but he rules over us with love. He is our head for our benefit and for our good. He doesn't harm his body, but he nourishes and cherishes and saves it by his grace. He intimately cares for every part of his body, even the parts that seem fairly insignificant. He bought us all with his blood. He has made us all his chosen possession. We are the apple of his eye, the jewel in his crown, the finished product of his saving work. So he protects us and he defends us. And if anyone wants to come and attack the body, they must attack the head as well. So listen to what John Gill states about Jesus as our head. He says that Jesus is a perfect head. Nothing is wanting in him. He knows all his people and is sensible of all their wants and does supply them. His eye of love is always on them. His ears are open to their cries. He has a tongue to speak to them and for them, which he uses. And he smells a sweet savor in them, in their graces and garments, though they are all his own and perfumed by himself. So there Gill is describing the head, the ears, the eyes, the nose, the mouth. And this is what Jesus Christ is to us, a gracious and loving ruler over his body. Well, praise God that we are in the head. We need to be in Jesus Christ, our head, because if you sever the head from the body, what happens to the body? It withers away and dies. So that's the first imagery, the body imagery of being in Christ. Let's look at the second imagery. That's the building imagery. Second, our union with Jesus Christ is compared to the indispensable union of building blocks to their foundation. And this is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Verses 19 through 22. The Apostle Paul says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." Now the Apostle Paul here tells us that we are both members of the household of God, and we are also the building blocks that make up the household of God. And I think the Apostle Peter tells us a very similar thing in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 6, when he says this, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.'" So we're both holy priesthood in the house of our God, and we are also the living stones that make up the household of God. So the church then is a new holy temple in Christ, or a spiritual house, we could call it, where God comes and makes his dwelling place. We are the stones that are brought together by the Spirit of God to form the tabernacle or the dwelling place of God on earth. So when we are assembled together as the people of God, God comes to dwell with us. But we know that this is only because the fact that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He is the precious and the chosen stone that makes up the spiritual house. He's the rock that we are built upon. He is the foundation underlying it all. So first, he is the cornerstone because he upholds and sustains the church of Jesus Christ. We know that the whole weight and all the burden of the church lays upon this great cornerstone. It rests upon him. And Jesus is the one who keeps us standing, and he keeps us firm, and he keeps us immovable. But secondly, Jesus is the cornerstone because he holds the church together. He's the glue. He's the binding agent. He's the adhesive that keeps us living yet chipped stones together to make up the house of God. The third, Jesus is the cornerstone because he adorns the church of Jesus Christ. He is the great stone of recognition and honor. He is that chosen and precious stone that sticks out among all the rest. He is what attracts the attention of God, and he is the one who draws people to himself. So in this church and in our own individual lives, Jesus is the one and the only one who attracts sinners. Jesus is the cornerstone because He aligns the church. Everything is based off of His person and His teaching. And we only find stability when we keep our focus upon Him and we build everything off of Him. So Jesus is our great cornerstone. We are the house of God being built upon that precious cornerstone. So praise God that we are in the cornerstone. We're in the head and we're in the cornerstone because we need Him to be our cornerstone. Because if we remove the cornerstone from the house, what happens? The house crumbles and the house crashes to the ground. So that's the building imagery. Let's move on to the third imagery. It's the light imagery. Third, our union with Christ is compared to the natural relationship between a light source and its rays. That's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. We're told there that at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. Now, Jesus is the Son of Righteousness, the true light, the light of Israel, the light of the world. He is the great light source. He is the great illuminator. He is the lamp of all lamps. He shines His grace on us and warms up our souls with His love. He enlightens us and He imparts understanding to us so that we might follow in His paths. And He gives us that great guidance and direction we need to make it to glory. So He is that blinding light that helps us and protects us from all of our enemies. But in contrast, we as Christians are the smaller L lights. We're the secondary lights. We're the derived lights. We're the light reflectors. We only shine because Jesus Christ shines down upon us. And we only see light because we are in Christ's light. Well, praise God that we're in the light. Because if we're not in the light, then we are in utter death and destruction and darkness. But it's all because of God that we have been placed in Him. Well, lastly and finally, let's move on to the fourth illustration of our union with Christ, and that is the marriage imagery. You guys probably all know where that's found. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23 and verses 31 through 33. Verses 22 through 23, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, His body, and is Himself its Savior. And then go on now to verses 31 through 32. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Well, Christ is our husband, and we are His bride. And this is, I think, one of the most intimate illustrations of our union with Jesus Christ found anywhere in the Bible. It's not just a necessary union or an efficient union or a natural union. This is a sacred, holy union. This is Christ coming to have an intimate, close relationship with us. We have this mystical, one flesh relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ didn't just choose to love us in some sort of biological fashion, like a father might have to love a child who is rebellious and wicked. But in spite of our wickedness and in spite of our sins, Jesus Christ chose to love us. He saw our filth. He saw our destitute condition. He saw our defilement. And in spite of all these things, He decided to clean us up and to deck us with holy attire, and to make us His bride. So Jesus deeply loves His people. And Jesus swears by the integrity of His own name to remain faithful to us forever. And Jesus forgives us when we have been unfaithful to Him. He doesn't divorce us, but He grants us the gifts of repentance and faith to confess our sins to Him and to turn and be recommitted to following Him and being faithful to Him. And Jesus provides for our every need. He is our physical head and He is our spiritual head and provider. And He gives us everything we stand in need of. On top of that, He also lavishes us with good and wonderful gifts. He doesn't just give us what He needs. He gives us so much more than that. Again, he decks us out with holy attire and garments, the very righteous robes of Jesus we can wear, and decks us out with all kinds of jewelry. Jesus also knows us better than we know ourselves, and He helps us in our weakness. Jesus also protects us and defends us. He is a jealous husband, and He will not let one of us go. No one will snatch us out of His holy hands. Jesus, as our husband, also prepares a banquet feast for us in heaven. And more than that, Jesus prepares a place for us, a chamber for us to live in with Him forever and ever. So praise God that Jesus is our husband and we are in our husband. We need Him because without Him, we know the wife is weak, alone, scared and forsaken. But with Him, we know that we are well protected and provided for. Well, hopefully we have seen that if we're in Christ, our lives as individual Christians and our lives as a church have radically, drastically, and eternally changed. Because once we were outside of Jesus Christ, once we were without hope and without God in this world, once we were strangers to God, but now God has brought us near by bringing us into Jesus Christ. He's taken us out of the realm of death and darkness, and now we are alive and well in Jesus Christ. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That means that life is not about us any longer. It's not about us pursuing our dreams, our wishes, our plans, or our ambitions. Jesus Christ, that means life is all about Him. Our identity is wrapped up in Jesus and even swallowed up in the identity of Christ. Because now Christ is being formed in us. And it's no longer we who live, but it's Christ who lives in us. Now we live in total dependence upon Jesus Christ, who is our true vine. And apart from Him, we can do nothing. We live as a body in need of its head. We live as a building in need of its cornerstone. We live as rays in need of their light source. And we live as a wife in need of her husband. So, brothers and sisters, have you seen that your life is no longer your own, but you belong now both body and soul in life and in death to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, that He is your rightful owner and master? Do you see how much you need Him? Do you see again that He is the true vine and that we are the branches, and apart from Him, we can do no good thing? Do you see how much you should resemble Him in your life? Do you see how much your life changes once you are placed in Jesus? But do you also see that with Him, everything is given to you? Everything is provided for you. You need not to worry about one single thing. With Him, all is safe and sound with no alarms. What a comfort that is to know the grace of the Lord Jesus and to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God draw us deeper in love to our Savior. May He draw us in deeper communion with Jesus Christ. May He be our all in all every day of our lives. And for those who are outside of Jesus Christ, those who have not been brought into Jesus Christ, may God be pleased to draw them by the cords of love into this great and awesome Savior. Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You for sending Him into this world. Thank You, O Lord, that He is the head of Your people, Your head of the body. Thank You, O Lord, that He is the cornerstone of this great spiritual temple. Thank You, O Lord, that He is the great light source, Lord, that shines its beautiful rays upon us. And thank You that Jesus Christ is the husband to His bride. We pray that You would draw us in love with Jesus Christ every day of our lives and help us not to live for ourselves any longer, but to live for Him who lived for us and died for us and rose from the dead for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.